A husband invited his boss and his boss's wife over to the home for dinner. And little Mary Kate had set the table. She was 5 years old. And when they got to sit down at the table for dinner, they noticed that everybody had a table setting. Everybody had silverware except for the boss's wife. And so the mother said, "Mary Kate, why didn't you put out silverware for her?" And little Mary Kate, 5 years old, says, "I didn't think she'd need any. I overheard Dad say that she eats like a horse." Well, in today's gospel, Jesus is invited for dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee. And when the Lord is invited, Simon the Pharisee does not show any affection, any love, any acts of kindness, any acts of friendship to the Lord. He doesn't wash the Lord's feet when he comes into the home, which would have been customary since the roads were not paved. Everything was dirt roads or dusty roads, and people wore sandals, so they would always take off their sandals, and a servant or a slave or a host would wash their feet as an act of courtesy and kindness. Simon did not give the Lord the greeting, which is a customary kiss of peace or a kiss of greeting. Nor did Simon anoint the Lord's head with oil or perfume. Well, again, normally in those days, if people would be hot and sweaty, they would come in and people would anoint them with a nice perfume to make the dinner a little bit nicer because of the nice smelling fragrance. So these things did not happen. And so the Lord sits down at dinner, actually reclines at table, because in those days they ate in a big, like, U-shaped or horseshoe-shaped dinner table, and they'd be reclining on pillows. They would lean on their left elbow, and they would eat with their right hand, and their legs and feet would be out behind them. And these dinners were public. They were open to other people, not for the food, but townspeople and others could come in, and they would listen, especially when a scribe or a Pharisee or a rabbi or a teacher was in the area. They'd be able to listen to their pearls of wisdom and to their discussion, to listen in. It was a sort of a neighborhood affair. And so this woman, who's described as a sinful woman, comes into the house. Most likely she was a woman of the streets, a prostitute. She was considered a sinful woman. Later on, Jesus would say, she had many sins, the Lord would say. Well, she comes into the house, as she was allowed, and she would go behind the group and listen. And she took this container of costly ointment, this perfume, in an alabaster container. The Jewish women would often wear them in a little container with a net as a necklace. And the only way to open these up was to break them. And again, these things were very expensive, very costly. Most likely, they'd be saved for a burial. Let's say the burial of her parents or her husband. And then this would be poured over to anoint the body for burial. So it'd be very expensive, very valuable. She breaks it open and she pours it, not over the Lord's head, because that was at the head of the table, but at the Lord's feet. And then the whole house is filled with a beautiful fragrance of this perfume. And she has a repentance. She begins to weep and cry for her sins. And her tears are coming out so profusely that they wash the Lord's feet of the dust and of the dirt. And so, again, it's such a beautiful event that occurs. And then she takes her hair and she wipes that, using her hair as a towel to wipe the Lord's feet with her own hair, and continues to kiss the Lord's feet again and again and again. Well, Simon the Pharisee notices this, and he's so self-righteous, he's so arrogant, that he says to himself, "Oh, if this Jesus were a true prophet, he would know what sort of woman this was." Bishop Sheen jokes, "Well, how did Simon the Pharisee know what kind of woman this was?" Think about that for a minute. So Simon, in his own heart and soul, is judging this woman and considers her certainly a great sinner. And the fact that she was touching Christ would make him unclean ritually in the eyes of, of the Pharisees. And so the Lord, who is God, he can read hearts, he can read souls. So he says to him, Simon, let me ask you, tell you a parable. And about two people, one owed 500 days wages, the other owed 50 days wages. Again, a huge amount of money. 500 days wages would be a year and a half worth of a person's salary. They'd have to work for a year and a half to pay that back. Somebody else owed 50 days wages. They'd have to work for a couple months to pay that back. And he said, the master forgave them both. Which one would be more grateful? Which one would love the master the most? And Simon had to think about it. And he said, well, I imagine the one whose larger debt was forgiven. And Jesus says, yes, you have answered correctly. And then the Lord points to this woman who had loved much and been forgiven much. She had a true conversion experience. She was repenting. Her tears. Have we ever wept for our sins? You know, we go to confession. We tell God we're sorry. But have we ever wept for our sins? She was truly weeping for her sins. And the Lord contrasts that Simon neglected to wash the Lord's feet. He neglected to give him a kiss of greeting. He neglected to pour oil on his head. But this woman anointed his feet with costly perfume and wiped them with her own hair, dried them with her hair, and used her own tears to wash the Lord's feet. See, this woman had repentance. She had true love of Christ. She had affection for Christ and love of the Lord. And so Jesus says, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one whom little is forgiven loves little. And he turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven. Again, Jesus is God. He can forgive sins. The people objected. Who is this that even forgives sins? What's so beautiful about this passage is we see the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. We see the fact that he can read souls. He read the soul of this woman. He read the soul of Simon the Pharisee and saw what he was thinking about this woman. So Jesus can read hearts and souls. And then he forgave her sins. Only God can forgive sins. So he forgives her sins and says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So we should ask ourselves a question. Out of these two people, which one are we? Are we the self-righteous Pharisee that always looks down on others? Because, you know, as they say, when we point the finger in judgment at another person, we have three fingers coming back at ourselves. You ever notice that? Three times as many fingers are pointed back at us when we point the finger to judge others. Or are we that repentant woman who is sorry for her sins, who has affection and kindness and courtesy towards the Lord? That's the person that we should be. We should not be in the spot of the Pharisee who was always looking down upon others and judging others. We should have an attitude of repentance, of love for Christ. But how do we show Jesus this love? How do we have affection for Christ? We do, of course, because every time we come to Mass, we're telling Jesus that we love him. We don't come to Mass because we have to or because it's a rule or regulation. We come to Mass out of love for Jesus, to spend time with the Lord, to worship him, to adore him, to receive him in Holy Communion. Ask yourself the question, why do you come to Mass? Do you come because you think you have to come? Or do you come because you want to be here? You want to show love for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, who paid the price for your sins. And the acts of kindness that we show the Lord are, for example, genuflecting. Every time we come into the church, we genuflect. That's an act of love for the Lord, an act of kindness for the Lord. And then we receive him in Holy Communion, reverently. And then we make a good thanksgiving and we adore Jesus and love him and thank him and praise him and offer him reparation. So when we receive communion, we invite Jesus under our roof, into the home of our soul. In fact, when the new translation comes out, We're going to be saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. So we invite Jesus into our home, the home of our heart, every time we receive communion, and we embrace him. We give him the kiss of peace. We tell him that we love him. And then lastly, we can also invite Jesus into our house by the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home. It is the month of June, the month of the Sacred Heart. And in the back of the church, in the back table, you can sign up to have the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in your home, where you place an image or picture of the Sacred Heart in your home, and then you consecrate your family to the Sacred Heart. And Jesus says, I will bless every place that has the image of my heart exposed and honored. I will give peace to their families if you consecrate yourself and entrust your home to the Sacred Heart of Christ. When the Lord appeared to Margaret Mary, he held out his heart and said, Behold the heart which so loves mankind, but receives so little love back in return. See, our hearts are cold oftentimes for Christ, and yet his heart is on fire with burning love for us. So again, are we the scribe and the Pharisee who is self-righteous and cold-hearted towards Christ? Or are we merciful and loving and in love with Christ and showing him affection and kindness and tenderness when we receive him in Holy Communion? Do we visit the Lord in the Adoration Chapel? See, Jesus is truly God and truly man. He has a human heart. And so he cares about whether or not we visit him and come to see him and spend time with him. Because he's truly God, but he's also truly man. He has those human emotions of love and affection for us. And so on this month of June, on this Sunday in June, I would encourage all of us to ask the Lord to convert our cold hearts that have shown the Lord so little affection and kindness and tenderness, and really pray that the Lord will soften our heart that we may love him with great affection and love and kindness.